I met somebody today, he told me, and he asked Rabbi Falk about a bike in his garden, that the bike left in his garden on Shabbos, and he wanted to know whether it was mutter to move that bike on Shabbos. What would you say, a bike on Shabbos, a bike,
Kele Shemalach Telesa,
Zerk Guf HaMakayimah, so he's moving it in the, why is he moving it in the garden over there, because he wants to save the bike, to save the bike, he wants to move it to save his bike. Says Muhammad Latzel. Lechoy should be Muhammad Latzel. So he said that Rafalk told him, which is the Magen Avraham that we discussed, the Magen Avraham brings down from Yerushalmi, that person is allowed to do aroma. You're allowed to move it and pretend as if you're moving it, Latzel Gufa Mukemboy. For example, you got a pen on your shelf, and a pen is a Kedush Melach Telesa, and you don't feel comfortable having that pen in the front room when somebody's coming over there. Look, it's a schmazzledicky, you left your pen over there before Shabbos. But rather, that's not called Tzeich Mekoymoy. That pen lying over there, that doesn't look nice on Shabbos, that's not enough to come under the head of Tzeich Mekoymoy. So you want to be mine, you'll move the pen and you take out the sefer behind over there. So you don't aroma the Tzeich Kufoy or Mekoymoy. So he said, Rafal, he said, make it, move the bike in order to, and sit on its place. I think there's some misunderstanding. I believe Rabbi Falk said it, but with a little pram missing, and that makes a big difference in Dine Muksa. We saw that Mishnah Berurah argues on the Tzeich Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah holds that you're only allowed to move, use a keli shemelach del iser, letzech gufoy mekoymoy, if there's no other option of using a keli shemelach del heta. If you've got two things on the table, a keli shemelach del heta or keli shemelach del iser, Mishnah Berurah brings a raya, they're not allowed to use a keli shemelach del iser. Tzeich Shabbos says, that's called Tzeich Gufo Mekoymoy. Doesn't matter if you got a Tavash HaLeheta there. Keili Shemalach Teli says, Mutar Tzeich Gufo Mekoymoy, you're allowed to use it. Mishnah Berurah holds not like that. And Rabbi Falk Zecher wasn't going to argue on the Mishnah Berurah. So the Heta of using Keili Shemalach Teli is only when you don't have a Keili Shemalach Teli Leheta. If you want to move the bike, and you want to make a Tzeich Mekoymoy out of it, because you want to sit on its place, then it's the same thing. It's like using a Keli Shemalach Tel Issa when you got an option to use a Keli Shemalach Tel Etta. So if I've got a whole big garden, and I've got a bike in my garden, and that bike disturbs me over there, so I'll say, I'll move that bike, and I'll put my chair in the place where that bike is over there. I'm glad it's not mutter. You got a whole big garden over there. You can put your chair somewhere else in the garden. It's like having a choice of a Davash HaMalach Tel Etta and Malach Tel Issa. The place of the bike is moving it, Letzech Mekoymoy. It's like moving a Keli Shemalach Tel Issa, Letzech Mekoymoy. Or using a Davash HaLetta. So it's no better to move the bike for that. So Rav Falk did say it, he's probably talking about the way I answered the question, probably like you've got a porch, you're coming to your house, and you've got your bike over there. So Rav Falk, move the bike and put your chair over there, where you gain by having the porch, it's nice to sit in the porch where you're sheltered from above and the rain doesn't hit you, so it's more comfortable to sit in the coming into the house, sheltered like that, rather than going in your garden. But it's time to move a bike and say it's safe from a coin boy. When you've got a whole garden over there, that's not heta. The whole heta is as much as we mutter to move a keli shemalach tel issa, so you can be marim and say you're using it because you want to have its space. But there's no heta to move a keli shemalach tel issa because you've got a big garden over there. You could sit with that under problem. Then I've added you can't move the bike.
Same so with the safer. If you've got another chimish like that, you can't do that.
Exactly the same lot. I can say I want to use that gemor beitzer where it's using where the pen's behind it.
Why?
Because in that gemor beitzer, I haven't got another gemor beitzer to use. I want to check out. You've got another gemor exactly the same at the side, and no difference to use that one, then you can't. It can't be better than a normal Kiddush Menachta Lissa. When you got Kiddush Menachta Lissa or Kiddush Menachta Letter, the aroma is to make it in the Kiddush Menachta Lissa. So if I've got a bike in the garden, I can say anywhere else you can't do it. But you can make yourself a usage from it. I've got punkt a hook behind that, or punkt that part of the garden that's maybe you get a better view for something. If you do it that way around, you can do it. But if it makes no difference at all, then there's no heter to move a Kiddush Menachta Lissa. And when you got a choice of using a Kiddush Menachta Lissa or Kiddush Menachta Letter.
Does it make any difference
if
it was
Yenem's
bike that you want to protect? I thought that's how the story started, that the
fellow
found a bike in his garden.
So let's say this is neighbor's
bike that's been
left
there.
Does that give him the right to move? I can't say if I can't say my neighbor's bike, Muhammad Latif.
No.
Nope.
Doesn't help.
No, it's only Yenem's mom, it's no difference. As to Latif, Gufoy, Latif, Mukemi, a Chiddush, like Shabbos, is that. Not clear in the Mishnah Berurah, but it comes out from the Prima Godim that there's an Afke Minna, even in a Tzech Kufoy, an Afke Minna with it's another Yid, that's called Tzech Kufoy. If I give my screwdriver for you, the Yid to use, that's called the Shemesh HaShabbos. But I give it for Goy to use, that's not considered the Shemesh HaShabbos. I was using it today, my neighbor wants to use my screwdriver today, that's not Mutter. The Het of Tzech Kufoy is only Letzerech, either myself or another Yid. Another Yid before Shabbos, and I've been Mekabel Shabbos, and he hasn't been Mekabel Shabbos, the Pasuk says Mutter. That's also considered, even though by him it's not Shabbos yet. But that's Mutter. But for the Tzer Goy, it's Asa. I'd like to discuss a bit today Muksa by Macholim, which are crumbs or foods which are left over, which is quite a very common Muksa and quite a complicated Muksa. Oichel we saw is something that doesn't become osa bechlal. Oichel is not muksa. Oichel, chazal, which is oimut for achilas adam, chazal never gave it to his muksa bechlal. That's the best, even better than kedush melachta letter. Kedush melachta letter is any muta with some sort of tzerich. You can't move a kedush melachta for no tzerich at all. Oichel you can move even for no tzerich at all. So the Mishnah Berurah says, brings down the machlokes, that maybe knives and forks and things that you use, plates, since it's there to be used together with food, it's also mutter without tzerech bechelal. That's all as far as oichel is concerned. When a person has an oichel that's not raw anymore, lachila. So the case of the Shulchan Aruch is, you've got bones, you've got peels, which is not omed lachilas adam. What's the din of the muksa when it's a stage when it's not any, was omed lachilas adam, and now it's not anymore omed lachilas adam? Nobody would eat these bones. Nobody would eat the clippers, the peels over there. I would give it to behemah. Then there's two different categories of foods when I give to a behemah. There's one category of something which l'chatchila I would give to an animal. L'chatchila, the case that the be'alocha says the person has pips from apples or something like that. Or garina tamarim, certain pips the animals would have would eat l'chatchila. So I've got that, that's one category. And there's another category, something the animals would eat, but they don't have it b'shas adchak. Kegoin, clippers of atzomus. Clippers, peels, they wouldn't l'chatchila. If I have an animal at home, I don't feed the l'chatchila my leftover peels. I can, some people do feed the animals with the clippers of atzomus. So there's ones which are l'chatchila aimed for an animal, and there's ones which aren't l'chatchila aimed for an animal.
You have to have an animal.
Also, on both of them, there's a condition that I need to have an animal. Now, I need to have an animal, or there's other animals around. Shchiach, there should be other animals around. What's called shchiach? So that, the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch, which they're common, they're around these animals. It's only for animals which aren't so shchiach to have around us. If I possess such an animal, it's mutter. And if not, it's asa. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what's called Matsuyin? Eitzel Roiv B'nei Adam. The fact that a Gvir has it, that doesn't make it Motsu. It must be Rav bin Adam. And the advice has a tshuva in Chassid Chok in Chelek Zayin, where he says it doesn't mean that Rav people dafka have it. It means that it's something which is very common. As opposed to something which only Ashirim have, even middle class people have such an animal. It's not something which is miyuchet dafka for Ashirim. But it doesn't mean every person has such an animal. And he says, when he says the Gabi Klovim, because the Ramah says, where Klovim is Shchiach, Im Ru'uim Klovim, Dog Klovim Metsuyim, says the Ramah, that there's dogs around, says the Ramah, says the advice, that there was never a stage, he said, Och and Vey, it was Shchiach, Ad Kidei Kach, that most people had dogs. Elomite means that there's quite a large amount of dogs around, and that's considered the Shchiach. Which perhaps makes a big nafkimina for us, Leider, in Manchester, which quite Shchiach, that there's in certain areas, but there's quite a lot of dogs. Where a person has the dogs, then the muksa changes on this halacha. This makes an afkimin al-ledina. Chas v'shalom, not be matzdik or telling any person that they should walk around with a dog. Last Shabbos, I saw you walking around Ebuch with three dogs in the street. It's mamish mos. It's pashat azach, which is
blind. Not blind.
No. He didn't look like he was blind. And if he does, one would do the job. Yeah. It's. And the third. If a person does have it, it makes an afkimina ledina. If a person, somebody told me he's got it in the street of him, his neighbors all have it. If a person has a neighbor that has it over here, so even though it's osa, even though I don't possess it, but something which is oimed for a dog, and they would give the animal to feed that sort of food, so klippus v'atzombus, if a person does give his animal to eat, if a person would give a dog that sort of food, klippus v'atzombus, and I've got klippus v'atzombus left on my plate, it doesn't turn into muksa. Because I could give it to that the neighbor's animal, like still.
Not
so it has to be Shel Yisrael, not Shel Efka. Shel Efka doesn't help, and a goy doesn't help. No, Rav Kav doesn't help. Goyim doesn't come to the picture, Baklal. It has to be Yidin. Because the Morgan of Rome says, the same way as I've got a mitzvah to feed my animal, I've got a mitzvah to feed another Yid's animal. And therefore, it comes under the heading of a mitzvah to feed an animal, and therefore it's Oymed Lemachal Behema. Otherwise, it's not Oymed Lemachal Behema. It's only Oymed Lemachal Behema because there's a mitzvah involved. So if another Yid.
I thought it was a mitzvah. If I've got crumbs, I've got birds.
So we'll get to crumbs in a second. No, birds, Shalefka, I've got no mitzvah to feed. But if I've got chicken, or I've got a goat.
Why does that have to be a mitzvah?
Because otherwise it's not oimed. If I own it is one thing, but for my neighbor's animal, it's not oimed to be given as food to my neighbor's animal. Only since there's a mitzvah involved, therefore we say the oichel mitzad atzmoi is destined to go over to my neighbor, because if I give it to him, I'm kind of a mitzvah with it. That's what the Magen Avraham says. You look at it as being oimed for your neighbor, since there's a mitzvah involved by giving this food to my neighbor. And even though I'm not holding by giving it to my neighbor, but why to give it to my neighbor and be makayim a mitzvah? So I look at the food as something which is oimed for my neighbor. But if there's no mitzvah involved, it's not oimed for my neighbor anymore. So it depends on whether there's another yid who has this animal, or where it's common for other yidin to have this animal. So if a person has a person has klippas v'atzombas, which are left over after his meal. Most times, mamonoshech is not a muksa. So that's not so shchiach b'chal, because either there's enough left on the plate, which is still edible. If there's something left on the bone, some chicken left behind, that if I decide I want to eat it, I could still eat it. So calls mom, my plate hasn't been taken away from me, it's not muksa. It's omed for the person who ate it to finish off. And even though he's not holding by eating it, but he could. He can decide 10 minutes later, no, why not? Let me finish off. I'm a bit hungry. Let me eat it. So called him on, that plate hasn't been cleared away. Bones on a plate, which has a bit of food on it, is in any case not a muksa. And if it doesn't have anything left on it, it usually turns into a graf sharei that you can clean it away. So it's not so common for us to come under the category of klippas v'atzomus to say that because of other animals around. What's much more shchiach is crumbs. Crumbs is a Mishnah and Gepaskent and Shulchan Aruch that when it's less than a kezayis, it's not oimed l'achilas Sodom. A kezayis is oimed l'achilas Sodom. Less than a kezayis is not oimed l'achilas Sodom. It's oimed for behema. And the shayla is, eich matzin yodin v'ragleinu, crumbs is the most shchiach kezach left on the table, whether it's mukzah.
Crumbs is
the inid, mach ma'gam to inid. Oh, so. So let's see where the comes clicks in, where it doesn't click in. Where's it a problem, where it's not a problem? Some people want to say, and it's Sefer Nachas Yisrael, from Dan Krauss' son, a very choshev a Sefer, and Ochas Muksa, he said, brings down as Kamba Tamid Chachomim told him, as the whole reason why a crumb turns into a Muksa is because it's not Oymed for Achilles Odom, but is Oymed L'Achilles Behimba, and therefore, Betzem should turn into a Muksa because now it's Oymed L'Achilles Behimba. But then, depends whether there's animals around or not animals around. But if there's no animals around, then our sort of society, where we don't have any animals, let's say, that they don't exist, these animals, so then automatically it's Oymed L'Achilles Odom, even when it's less than a Kezayis, and therefore crumbs for state in the Mishnah, and state in the Shulchan Aruch, is Muksa, doesn't apply to us, because for us it's always Oymed L'Achilles Odom, because we don't have the animals. It's a Shver Svara, and a Zicha Shver Svara to go against the Mishnah because of that, because it's a Mishnah, and all the Pasuk can bring it down L'Alocha, and to say that they always had animals, and nowadays we don't have any animals, and therefore, because we don't have the animals, it's more Oymed L'Odom. It's on something which the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah says is a Muksa, it needs a big chesima on that in order to remove that Muksa. So let's take on the way it says in Shulchan Aruch that crumbs are Muksa. Crumbs less than a Kezayis are Muksa. So what do? We have crumbs left on our table. How can we move those crumbs? And in the middle, every time you're going to take the crumbs, it's only Kelachayat. Oh, so that's the Chayr Poshet. Again, with something also not spoken out in the Poskim, but it has to be that way around. That when a person's in the middle of the meal, it's not Muksa. It's only not Oymed L'Achilles Adam when he's finished his meal. The crumbs after meal aren't Oymed L'Achilles Adam. If we're going to say a person only has a Kezayis and less than a Kezayis, he doesn't have it over there. In the meal, he has a challah and little pieces fall off and he nibbles at his challah and he takes the crumbs and he eats them up. As part of a meal, a person does eat his crumbs. And that what stated in the Mishnah, even though it's sasum, that less than a Kezayis is Oymed L'Machal Behemah, is only after the meal. During the meal time, it's not a Muksa. So if, big enough Gemina, a person finishes his meal, benched, and now you want to clear off the table. A person thinks twice. He uses his hand to clear off the crumbs on the table. He's clearing off. He doesn't want to change the plastic for whatever reason. He's got candlesticks, and the candlesticks are still on, and he can't take it off. Whatever the reason is, he doesn't want to change the plastic. He doesn't have a plastic. So he uses, how many people would go along and wipe the tablecloth with their hands and clear off those crumbs? Those crumbs aren't a muksa machmas kufoy. They're muksa machmas kufoy. Because really, it lost its chashivas of oichel because it was less than a kezayis. It only retained the chashivas of oichel because it was oymed for behema. Oh, but we don't have behemas. So we don't have a behemas, it's not oymed for a meichel behema anymore. So it's a muksa machmas kufoy. So crumbs which are left on the table after mealtime, after benching, is a muksa machmas kufoy.
Even bigger than a crumb, it's a small piece which can be quite a substantial piece.
Perurim, so even if you want to say that we would have a bit bigger than up, a bit less than a kezayis, but perurim we certainly wouldn't have. You start your next meal afterwards, and there's crumbs over there, those crumbs you're not going to have anymore. As long as the meal stretches, then you'll still have the crumbs over there. Molding my ice cream, I can still take the crumbs over there. Bench and coming back for the next meal, even if the tablecloth wasn't changed in between, a next meal a person doesn't have the crumbs anymore from a previous meal. So if we have an halacha, we have a Mishnah that says that crumbs turns into a muksa machmas kufoy, to cut it down to the minimum means after benching it turns into a muksa machmas kufoy. And therefore if a person wants to clear off his table after the meal, a very, very common Negir b'muksa would be to take those crumbs and to wipe it with one's hands. That's mamish, you're dying, touching a muksa machmas kufoy. Now, a challah board is not like that. And this is a chiddush. I spoke over with quite a few people in Eretz Yisrael, and I saw the Nach Yisrael says the same thing over here. And it's a really good point. There's a reason why the crumbs turn into muksa, because not imid l'achilas adam, it's imid v'achilas behemba. If a person cuts challah on a challah board, and there's some crumbs left behind on the challah board, and he comes the next meal and starts cutting challah on the challah board, and there's crumbs left on the previous meal, would you say you wouldn't have those crumbs, or those crumbs you would have? It's called zachnis. You put all together those crumbs and the previous crumbs, and if a child wants to come, enjoys having the crumbs after you cut the challah, and you put on the spoon those crumbs, you won't say, the crumbs from this meal, yeah, and the crumbs from the last meal, not. You put the whole load together on the spoon, and you give over to the one who wants to have the crumbs. Crumbs on a challah board are aiming to be eaten. Because when you start your next meal, if you haven't cleaned it off beforehand, you'll put the challah down on top of it. If you want, it's a davar shel metzias. If you hold not like that, if you would be makbid not to use the crumbs left on the challah board behind, and then the chlam to muktzah machmas gufa. I'm not saying it has to be that way around, but if a person is a makbid on those crumbs which are left behind, and he would put those challahs down to start the next meal, which I think a lot of people would, if it's not completely clean, you put the challahs down and start cutting the next challah. Friday night, there were some crumbs left on the challah board. Shabbos day, you come back and you start cutting on that challah board. So those crumbs are taka oimid for achila sodom.
What difference? So if you want to move them off, then that's a raya that you might, you don't want them. So then they are muktzah. And if they're not muktzah, it doesn't matter because you're not going to touch them anyway.
At which stage?
If you finish your meal, right, and there's crumbs left, he's saying if you would leave them there till Shabbos morning, you would eat them with a challah, then that's a raya that they're not muktzah.
That's a raya that normal person's not makbid on those, yeah.
But I'll just leave them in there, babe.
So very good point, very good point, very, very true point. Because if Sefer says that something that is bechefta oimed, it doesn't matter if I'm deciding not to use it. Chassid Sefer says, if I've got food, crumbs that are left over, and I've got an animal around, and I could give it to my animal, even though I'm taking those crumbs, I'm throwing it in the bin, but it's not a muksa, because it could be given to the animal, and it's aimed to go to the animal. It very much depends on what one would say these crumbs are aimed for. If a person would eat these crumbs again, the fact that you're throwing it out at this stage, it's not a muksa machamas kufoy. But if nobody would eat it, then it's a muksa machmas gufoy. You're right, I'm throwing it out now over here, so that second I decide not to use it, you turn to a muksa machmas gufoy. But most people would reuse those crumbs which are on the challah board. So crumbs on the challah board, but they're klal, unless I've decided no way am I going to use it. I wouldn't use it. It's much nicer, it'll look cleaner for the next meal over there. But if it remains behind, so zayin azoy, I'll cut my next challah on top of it. The fact that I'm throwing it out doesn't turn into a muksa. It turns into a muksa because it's not aimed to be eaten. So crumbs which are left on the challah board is very much, if we're going to say that a person would eat those crumbs on the next meal over there, then it doesn't turn into muksa and I'm allowed to use my hand to clean the challah board. And if you'd say, no way, any crumb left behind, I'm akpid, I won't put my challahs down on the challah board until there's no crumb left, because those are hard crumbs and I'm starting my meal fresh, then any crumb would turn into muksa machma skufay. But if most people aren't makpid on it, so even if you
use a brush and pan.
So the brush and pan comes into the shaila which we'll get in Bitz Hashem, to what's called a tiltum and atzat. The Taz holds that tiltum and atzat is anything you do through something else. If you don't do directly with your hands, it's called a tiltum and atzat. And the Chazanish holds that tiltum and atzat is you made a shino out of it. And if it's a normal way to clean with a brush, then it's not a tiltum and atzat. So according to the Chazanish, you won't be able to take a brush and clean the crumbs off the table. You have to take the whole plastic off and move it away. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, which Pastor Gedot has, you could use a brush to clean it off. No, I know Yidden Eretz Yisrael went with the Chazon Ish, a tiltum latzad, he never used to use a brush over here. He said, I use plastics, Shabbos, why do I use plastics? For one reason only, my crumbs are left behind after the meal. I get nervous every week, what should I do with these crumbs? Touch it, not touch it with a brush. I take the whole plastics I've done. I tiltum latzad by taking the plastic. But as soon as you take a brush, if you hold that the Mishnah Berurah, a brush is considered tiltum latzad. If you hold the Chazon Ish, it's not a tiltum natzat, so. But that klal will make it to do with a brush. But to touch with your hands is a nagia, begufoy, bemuksa, which is quite a chomudika muksa where a person has to be machme.
Well,
if you know, no, that's called a normal, not a normal. If you hold the serviette in your hand and you're just doing it like that, then yeah, that's called a normal way to do it. But if you hold it in not a normal way, if it's called a shinu, Chazanish says you need. Need a shino out of it, or shino.
If there's other shmutz on the table besides these crumbs?
Well, during the mealtime or after the mealtime?
That
doesn't make the crumbs. As soon as a person benches.
There's other shmutz in
there. Yeah. So I can take the whole plastic out because of graf shari, but it won't turn the crumbs into graf shari.
What about those that don't use plastic?
Pardon?
Tabletop.
Don't use plastic and.
They have tablecloth. So how do you clean a tablecloth?
How do you have to pick the whole tablecloth out and give it a shake?
Because
it's a tiltum atzad. I'm not touching it with my hand. I take it through the tablecloth. Oh yeah, the brush and maybe. Nice mishpuz mekel. I won't tell you to be machmir on that. I'm thinking brush and pan. It depends on the chazanish. Nice wool mekel, mishpuz mekel. You can take a brush and pan, do it with a brush, and do it. Yes, that one can do. But to touch with the hands is problematic.
To hold the serviette in your hand and brush like this is the same as a brush?
The same as a brush. If you hold it by all the way right, the normal, if you hold it loose from the top and then the chazanish. But otherwise, it's the. through something else, then if your mom's holding the serviettes, mom's touching your hand over there, a knife is what the Taz talks about. The knife is what the Taz talks about. If your mom's holding the serviette in your hand, touching direct, the normal way to do it, not through something else, may already be considered the yad. So talking about through a yad. The Taz says, not mom's tilt to be yad, you do through something else. But you're holding the serviette, and the serviette is just yoda arichta.
Even before Ben Shemala, so even through Mishaloi, there was still a yoda in the past, because I'd not been threading it from then.
But you were Masalik Yoda, but what happens when one of the children would come in and eat it? Somebody would eat it. Till benching, somebody would eat it. The fact that you were Masalik Yoda in the past means every person, all the children, and they wouldn't eat afterwards. That would be the situation. That would be before benching. Benching is usually the time where a person, that it's not aimed for any person at this meal to eat those crumbs anymore. If beforehand, at the earlier stage, nobody would be able to eat it, then already earlier, turn into muksa.
Start mixing the crumbs from all the people together,
between
the last table, then probably no one's
going
to eat it.
When after you clean, before benching,
the ones in front of my place,
they're
my own crowns, but
once
they've been pushed along the table, then it's a mixture.
If it reaches the stage, benching isn't the kaveya. And if it reaches the stage where people aren't able to eat the crumbs anymore, then that's what the Mishnah says, it turns into a muksam akhmas.
It's a pull of starting to clean, is that point? Even if you start cleaning before benching, that's when you start to clean, it's a rai, you're not going to eat this anymore.
Okay, and then Shaykh Chasam Sefer, that even though I've got food that's omit for, it doesn't turn to muksa because it's omit to go to an animal, says Chasam Sefer, even if I'm throwing it in a bin, it's still not muksa, I can still move it to the bin. Because the fact that it's still mitzat atzma oimet for behemah, that's a
shchiddush.
It's not doing my das. It's got to do with mitzat atzma is oimet. If by benching nobody would eat it anymore, then mitzat atzma it's not oimet
so
to be eaten anymore.
So to clean the table before benching.
That'd be a good eitzah and a chlami. If you do it before benching, you'd get around that problem.
Only if you can do it with your hand.
If you want to do it with your hand,
you have your hand anyway. It's not a problem, really.
And a chlami, and a chlami.
Yeah, but you can use a serviette. You can use whatever.
It's much easier. If you move the crumbs before benching, at stage where etzim, you could use it, and then a chlami. Kemach, flour. Is interesting. It's a muksamach maskufoi. Hagam is if you eat flour, you make a shakel on it. So it does have a certain tashmish. You make a broch on it. If one be'im adachilis adam mechlal, you won't make a broch on flour. We say a shakel when you have flour. It's raw to be eaten over there, but most people wouldn't eat it mechlal. And therefore, since most people wouldn't have flour, a pack of flour turns into muksamach maskufoi. To turn a muksamach maskufoi doesn't mean it's not. It doesn't need. There shouldn't be. Then nobody would eat it at all. Totally not edible. It needs to be that most people wouldn't eat it, bichlal. It's a very fine line because a bosachai is a muksa because a person could have a bosachai. Some people chew it, a raw piece of meat, and therefore we say it's not a muksa. How many people would have the raw piece of meat, chew it, and the flour wouldn't have it all? From flour, it's all a sana muksa machmas kufoi. And a raw piece of meat that somebody would, certain people would chew, it doesn't turn to muksa. It's hard to know exactly where they get it when it does turn to muksa, when it's not a muksa, but something that basically nobody would do is a muksa machmas kufoi. For any oichlim that person has in the freezer, on Shabbos, the person's got a raw piece of chicken, all these things, it's an oichl, but it's a muksa machmas kufoi. A person can't use it at all on Shabbos, it's a muksa machmas kufoi. Something which is frozen, even though nobody would eat it at this stage, but it's raw to be used on Shabbos, isn't it? Muksa machmas kufoi, even at a stage when it's frozen, then nobody would have it like this. Because mitzadatzmoy, it's raw, at a stage. Boiling hot soup, also nobody, we've got water, but it's 100 degrees, and also nobody would touch it at that stage, and it's not muksa. It doesn't matter. It has to be with something which is, at some raw, latash mishadam, it's a bit hot, or a bit cold, a bit frozen, that doesn't matter. But if it's raw, and it's not edible, then it turns into a muksa machmas kufoi. Now, the second thing that this person told me today, and this brings out also interessante shaila, and it brings out the nekuda of muksa on the oichel, and in general, what makes the kelish menach telesa. He said like this, he said somebody asked him that there was toothpaste that one of the children geshmeret over in the bathroom sink, and the mother said that she went and cleared it up. It was a toothpaste, it was a Kelish of Nachdelisa. Well, let's get that second. So we get the second. Either Kedush Menach Delisa or it's Oichel.
The tube.
No, sorry. The tube smeared the, took the toothpaste and smeared it over the sink, and she went and cleared up the Shabbos on her hand, because either it's Oichel or it's Oimer for Issa, Menach Delisa, and if it's Mutter, let's have Kufa Mekoyma, and here was Kufa not to have the toothpaste. She cleaned it with her hand. She put water, flowing water, the paste. One of the children smeared the toothpaste in the over the sink, and she used the hand to clear it away. And, pardon? The sink. You can't use a sink like this over there. The bathroom sink, but the sink that the children use all the time. Oh. So this is it. Oh, so that's it. That's very. It was a good shaila because it brings out mamish what we need for what's the muksa shaboy is not the muksa shaboy. Ashton's as the kedush menach delisa. Imagine it's got a shem keli and menach delisa toothpaste. Last week we discussed on toilet paper. Is toilet paper a menach delisa or is it not menach delisa? And others wanted to say that toilet paper isn't a menach delisa because the way you use it is not involving issa at all. A person uses it, does not involve issa. Before he uses it, he cuts it to size. Cutting it to size can go into three shalas of issa deraisa. But that's nothing to do with the usage. The way I use it is without an issa. Prior to the usage, I go and cut it to size maybe. That may not make it into kedush menach delisa. And Ibn Nissim understood that no, that makes it into kedush menach delisa. It was posh behem, it's menach delisa. And he came with a chiddush that since it's muta letzeirich, covered abrius, therefore it's not a roll of toilet paper. Isn't a muksamach maskufay? It's something that you're allowed to move a toilet roll, and that is already a very big chiddush because for a few reasons. First of all, it depends very much what the situation is. If a person has boxes of tissues at home that he can use on Shabbos and by mistake left a toilet roll in his toilet, it doesn't mean that the toilet roll is not a muksa because it's for covered abrius. I'm allowed to use it. I've got toilet paper in my house. If I wouldn't have toilet paper, I'd be able to use the toilet roll. But the way things stand at the moment, I've got a box of tissues over there, and therefore it's not omer b'chalal. So why should they say every toilet roll, the way it's written in the sefer, is a toilet roll is mutter, covered abrius, and therefore it's not a muksa. Can't be that every toilet roll is not a muksa because of that, number one. And even if a person doesn't have tissues over there, covered abrius may not mean that it's not a muksa b'chalal. It's a muksa. I'm allowed to do a heter because covered abrius to come along and use it. The mamate, covered abrius, to use the oven, but it doesn't mean that the oven isn't a muksa. I can't continue using it as much as I want. As much as I need it, I've got a heter of covered abrius to do it. And therefore to say it's not a muksa because of it is a big chiddush. Pardon? No, the case we had last week was I come into the bathroom. No, but it doesn't say it's not muksa b'chlal. I can move it. It's not. I can move it. Already the way it is now, nothing more than a kelish menach delisa. Maybe even less than that. A bezicha, nothing more than that. Why is it not a kelish menach delisa? It's a normal. If you understand that it's more than that, he understands it's not a kelish menach delisa. It's not a kelish menach delisa because it's got a heter to use on Shabbos. A heter to use it covered abrius when I need to use it. Because I haven't got the heter of covered abrius, it's a muksa. Even when I have a heter of covered abrius, I'm using a muksa because of abrius. But still a muksa. In the case was last week, I come into the bathroom and I see there's a roll of toilet paper left behind over there that I should have removed before Shabbos, and I never removed it before Shabbos, and I want to take it away in order that my children shouldn't use it on Shabbos. L'chayra, a person's running, that's not called Zechkufa Mokemboy, I'm not using its place, I'm not using the goof of the roll of toilet paper, I'm taking it out in order that somebody shouldn't use it, it's not Gufa Mokemboy, it's problematic to use it on Shabbos. Better to kick it out, but not to take it out over there. Get back to the toothpaste. Toothpaste, the way you use it is usually through the form of mamariach. And therefore, it doesn't turn into kelish menach delisa. Debatable. If you want to define this toothpaste, I don't really do an issa with it. I use it to clean my teeth. Before I put it on my teeth, the usual way to do it is to put on the toothbrush and then shmir it in, I'm going to run into problems. I would say that it's omer for issa, I could use it without that issa over there. It's an issa that I do with it before I use it on my teeth. Does that make it a melach del issa or not? Tafim vissen. But before that, let's typically melach del issa by toothpaste, tafim vissen whether it's melach del issa. Is it an oichel or is it not an oichel? If it's a, is it an oichel or is it not an oichel? Pardon? Most people don't have toothpaste over there, and even though a person can't swallow it, therefore better one should take on, they shouldn't have a shemoichel. A bar of soap is a muktzah machmas gufoy. It doesn't have a shem keli on it. A oichel is a oichel, it doesn't have any muktzah bechlal on the oichel bechal. A neh, a person's got a candle, the Mishabura takes on, B'shem the Mogen Avram, that it's a keli shemalach telesa. And there, it doesn't really have much of a form of a keli b'chalal for it. It's there, you use it, and it gets consumed when you use it. There's nothing remaining, there's no form of a keli b'chalal on an air. An air comes into two problems. There's one shaila by muksa, when a person, every time keli shemalach telesa, the normal form of keli shemalach telesa is some tzura, some form of a keli on it, and therefore it's a keli shemalach telesa. Something that a person uses and destroys it, when he uses it, that doesn't give a keli shemalach telesa. Eitzim, that person burns, that's not keli shemalach telesa, it's a muksa machmas gufoy. He burns it, and he has an oar when it burns over there, it's a muksa machmas gufoy. Gets used and gets consumed at the same time. There's no shimush of a keli b'chlal. That makes a muksa machmas gufoy. A match, which a person wouldn't use twice, is machlinkis and poskis maneinu about it. You don't strike a match once. It doesn't have really much of a form of a keli, a match. But it's got a proper usage to use it as a match. And it doesn't get destroyed when you use it. Wood is the case of muksumach maskufoy, because it gets consumed and you can't use it twice, and there's nothing there. You use it for nissa, it's gone. So there's nothing there afterwards and more. That's a muksumach maskufoy, not kedish umrach the nissa. Wood is a muksumach maskufoy. A match is machlikis, or Moshe, and others. Do we call it a muksumach maskufoy or kedish umrach the nissa? You use it, you won't use it again, but it's still there, left behind as a match after I've used it. And you can use that match. A person can use it as a toothpick. A person can use it as something else. It's not that it has no usage, b'chlal. But it's there to be used as a one-off and not to be used again. Do we say it's something which is to be destroyed whilst using, and therefore it's a muksa machmas gufoy? Or do we say, no, it's not being consumed. I strike the match. The match remains. And I could use it still for something else afterwards. It's not a muksa machmas gufoy. It's machlikis on the Poskei Zmanenu, how does one define a match? As a keli shemalach telesa or muksa machmas gufoy? Something that can't be used again is vadai a muksa machmas gufoy. And therefore, toothpaste, it doesn't come under the heading of oichel. And even when it's oichel, I don't mean oichel because you eat it and the person will eat it or not. But it's got a way of using it. But Yuzicha wouldn't use a toothpaste more than once. That's it. You use it, you rinse it, and it goes away. There's nothing there left afterwards. The toothpaste after you use it. So a toothpaste is a muksa machmas gufoy. It's either a mach telesa, or anything more than that. Al safaz shmering on the toothbrush or being over this fash is a mach telesa. But it's much bigger muksa than that. It's a muksa machmas gufoy. It's a oich. It comes under maybe the form of oichel that you'd use it, not oichel that you'd eat it, to have the milas of oichel, but it's nothing. You use it and it goes in the bin afterwards. Nobody uses the toothpaste twice. It doesn't have any form of a keli b'chlal. So a toothpaste is a muksa machmas gufoy. So this lady who said that she had toothpaste over her bath sink and she used the hand to clear it up, was she right or was she wrong? She was wrong. It's a muksa machmas gufoy. It's not a keli shemalach telesa. It doesn't have no chashivas of a keli b'chlal. It can't be used again. It's a muksa machmas gufoy. A muksa machmas gufoy. You can't do it on Shabbos.
There's no way to clean it. There's no way to clean it.
She could have. She could have. Kelachayat. She could have done kelachayat. She let the water run and then let it go. But to come and use your hands to clear it up, that is a muksa machmas gufoy. But quite a easy way for a person to be over a muksa machmas gufoy on Shabbos. Just have to get it right. Which category it comes under. It's not a keli shemalach telesa. It's a muksa machmas gufoy. A muksa machmas gufoy, which has no heter to not the tzerch gufoy, not tzerch mukayme. So even though she needed a tzerch gufoy to clean tzerch gufoy, tzerch mukayme, I mean, she needed mukayme that should be clean. That sink over there, but she had a muksa machmas gufoy. So muksa machmas gufoy, there's no heter to move on Shabbos.
And use a keli to remove it.
If not a normal way to do it over there, yeah, so maybe. We tell them on the tzad. when she takes a keli, rubs it off with the hand. I'm taking, touching with your hand and rubbing it off over there is a b'yadayim for muksa machmas kufay. Very easy, a toothpaste. That toothpaste is quite shkich.
Take the tissue to
work. But we'll get to that. The mamish holding the tissue, when your mamish holds in your hand like that, whether the taz holds, we'll get to that with Hashem on the kliachayad. Maybe that even the taz holds, that's mamish piyadayim mamish. It's only when the person has a brush or through something else, but mamish holding the tissue, is rubbing the tissue, that's pashas piyadayim mamish. So to clean with a tissue over there on Shabbos is a muksa, a problem of a muksa. Yeah, quite an easy way to be over a tiltal of a muksa by just cleaning away it with paste. Soap says a muksa machmas gufa. Pal? No. I'm talking about the bar of soap. No, a lot of them are omed. A lot of them are omed to be used on Shabbos. Pal?
I guess it's true that you use it.
Well, you're allowed to use it. Well, a lot of soaps, the liquid soaps, you're allowed to use. No marak if it's too liquid. If it's liquidy, it's not a muksa b'chalal. Only the bars of soaps that you can't take it off. You rub it inside by using it. Those ones over there, it's not just a keli shemlach tele. It's a muksa machmas kufoy. And even though not because you could say you could use it for something else, maybe to hold on a safe, but keep a door open. Imagine even if you have a different usage on Shabbos, it doesn't. It's not a keli shemlach tele. It's a davar shel issa without a form of a keli. The bar of soap is something that's not a form of a keli b'chlal. A davar shel issa, which is not in the form of a keli, is a muksa machmas kufay. You should make a shtickler start with muksa machmas chison kis. The standard case of muksa machmas chison kis is a person has a keli shemalach tele issa, which he wouldn't use for anything else other than the Issa. Meaning to say, Keli Shemalach the Issa, a screwdriver, the standard case, Keli Shemalach the Issa, a screwdriver. A person would use the screwdriver to open a bottle of wine, so it's got Tash Mishalhet on Shabbos, and he's not marked with where the screwdriver is, Bechlal, and therefore it's not a Muksa Machas Chason Kis. If a person has the knife of a Sheikhet, or what a Moel uses, those, he's very makbid. They shouldn't be used for anything else other than what it's destined for, what it's supposed to be used for shchita. A sheichet sakin, that's it. He's scared he's going to get pogrom. He's not going to have his fish Friday night with a sheichet mesa. Sheichet mesa is there only to be used for shchita. If it's there only for shchita, so as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's a keli shemalach tele issa, which doesn't have any tashmish shalhet on Shabbos. Because he can't usually would say it doesn't turn into a muksa machmas gufoy. It remains a keli shemalach tele issa because I can use it. It's taka, it's supposed to be used for issa. But I could use it for other things also. A fan, we said, a fan is keli shemalach tele issa because the way you use it is always by pressing the buttons. It's keli shemalach tele issa. But a fan, none of us would use a fan to keep the door open. If the door's swinging closed, you put a fan over there to keep the door open. So it may be a keli shemalach tele issa, but it's got a tashmish shalhet on Shabbos, and therefore, since it has a tashmish shalhet on Shabbos, it didn't turn into a muksa machmas gufoy. But a sakin of a sheikhet, you wouldn't use for anything else. So the only thing I can use it for is for Issa, and I can't use it for Issa on Shabbos because I'm not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. So a sakin of a sheikhet is a muksa machmas chason kis, and it's not allowed to move it at all. It doesn't have that of tzech gufoy, tzech makoymoy, has to remain over there. V'chein, anything that a person is makbid, not to move, even shaloi machmas issa. A person, a fridge or freezer, is also a common case of a keli shemalach tele issa. A person's got a leak under his fridge, and he's worried, he's got a wooden floor, and he's worried that it's going to damage the floor, and he wants to move his fridge on Shabbos in order to put some towels underneath it. It would be a keli shemalach tele issa. Then we'll have to go into it. It's considered gufoy or makoymoy. Pastor said it wouldn't come under gufoy or makoymoy either. We got something which is stuck behind the fridge. A marble fell behind the fridge. Something that the children want to play with on Shabbos. And you want to move it. It's very important. It's a 2 days Yom Tov. And something fell behind the fridge. You want to move it out over there. Akele shemnach tel isa letzerich makoymoy. You'd pull it out be'etzem. But if it's a muksamach shankis, you can't pull it out. A fridge and a freezer, these sort of expensive items, most of us would be makbid, they shouldn't be moved around at all. Because it moves around, something often goes wrong by moving them around. And you keep it over there, unless It's a must. On our Pesach, it has to be moved to clean underneath it. Or there's something wrong with the motor. And other than that, it's there to stay. Not because of Bamikra, because it's too heavy for you to move it. You want it to stay over there, because otherwise you're scared it's going to get damaged. So you've got a Kpeda to keep it on its place. That's a Kelish Marachadessa, with a Kpeda not to move it, is also a standard case of a Muksamach Masachson case. The door of the fridge and freezer I'm allowed to open on Shabbos, because that part of it is owned with the Tiltul. It's even though it's all one item. But that was the Mechasid Chok said the person has the urn and has the spout coming out of the urn, even though the urn itself is muksa of Shalheves, it's the biggest muksa of the urn itself, but that is made to be used to turn the spout, and that's a tashmish b'fanatzmoy. V'chein, in that same tshuva, says the Mechasid Chok, when a person has a freezer is Muksa Machem Shachson case, it doesn't want to move it at all. But the door is made to be open and closed, so it's a Menach Tele Issa, maybe, but nothing more than that. Maybe Lach Tele Eta.
What's in the door?
Pardon?
What things are in the door?
Okay, so let's say there's nothing in the door over there. So it's a Menach Tele Eta, that's made for Tashmish Tele Eta to open and close it. Or Vachena washing machine door, or dryer door, is a Kiddush Menach Tele Issa. It's not the machine itself. The Kpeda is not to move the machine. The door, I open and close all the time. But I use it always in order to load the washing machine up and to do the Vam Shalissa. So the door is a Kedish Menach Tele Issa. The washing machine is a Muksa Machas Chasson Kis, and the door is a Kedish Menach Tele Issa. What's quite common is that a person goes to a shop and buys an item and isn't sure whether he's going to keep it or not. Or a person goes to the shop and before Shabbos already has the item and decided that it's the wrong size for either himself or one of his children, wants to return it. Or a person has bought him two jackets and is going to see which one looks better on him. Now, in the cases where a person has a jacket which is aimed to go back to the shop, that jacket which is aimed to go back to the shop is a Muksa Masach Chasson Kis. He's makpid that jacket shouldn't get dirty at all, because if it gets any dirt on it, he's lost, he's not going to get money back from it, they're not going to accept it. He's got a proper kpeda that shouldn't be used for anything on Shabbos. So you got a normal jacket, but that jacket is a Muksa Machas Chasson Kis.
And before you decide which one he's taking?
Before I've decided which I'm taking, the violet's still aimed for Shimush, because I can decide to use it. But if I took two jackets home,
and I decided,
yeah, something, how to get a Muksa Machas Chasson Kis on Shabbos, I start thinking, maybe a priss after you used it beforehand, it's aimed to be used, and afterwards it's not aimed to be used after. Very easy case. Two jackets at home, I went to the shop, went to Marks and Spencer, two jackets, and I'm not sure which one I'm going to keep. The one I'm not going to keep is going to be a Muksa Machas Chasson Kis. As soon as I decide which one I'm not going to keep, then the one that I decided on Shabbos I'm not going to keep, I come home, I try my jacket, my family are there, the children are there, I want to decide which one looks better on me. I put my jacket on Shabbos, which one looks better on me, and they tell me A looks better than B, so A it's not a muksa, and B then turns into a muksa machas chasson kis. Pardon? We're going into shatnas now, but imagine there's no problem with shatnas. There's no problem with shatnas. The same jacket, the same mean. That a lot of them are on shatnas tested. They've been checked before. You'll have to wear on Shabbos also. It's only lechatchila.
On Shabbos. But
imagine a polyester, 100% polyester. Yeah.
Well, on Shabbos you can
come. Why not? And it can turn into muksa. There's only a choymer when Shabbos comes in. If it's muksa when Shabbos comes in, it remains muksa for all Shabbos. Miku diskatzoi. But it's not going to be muksa on Shabbos. A muksa machson kis is gather shayla, but if you say miku diskatzoi. Even when Shabbos comes in, it's a muksa machson kis. It may not be a muksa machson kis. I don't think miku diskatzoi. But a normal muksa, in any case, it's something to turn a muksa into Shabbos. I've got an item, a jacket I wear on Shabbos, two of them I had, and one of them I decided I'm going to keep. The one I decided now that I'm going to keep turns on Shabbos into a Muksa Machmas Chasson Kis.
So making as our decision, Shmack a little bit from back of Kobanka, don't be doing such a thing on Shabbos. Who tells you to make a decision what you want to wear now?
I want to wear my Shabbos jacket got dirty, and I want to wear it now for Shabbos Mincha. I want to go back with a different jacket. And these two jackets were lying by me, so I shall wait till after Shabbos to decide. I was going to decide on Shabbos which one I'm keeping. I bought them, I'm not doing my Kechamemka. I decided which one I'm going to keep, which one I'm going to go back. They're both completely mine. I have to try on Shabbos, why shouldn't I? Try it on Shabbos, and the other one turns into a Muksa Machas Chasson Kis. So beforehand, they both weren't Muksa Machas Chasson Kis, and now one of them turns into a Muksa Machas Chasson Kis. V'chein, if a person has a shop in the house, if a person has a shop in the house, and they're makpid, that the items shouldn't be used, because it gets a bit dirty, they won't be able to sell it. So all the items that are lying there in the shop are muksa machzik sonkis. You can't just come along and go and take something from the shop and move other items. And think of just a kedush machzelis and move it to the side, wherever it is. Those items, your makbit shouldn't get dirty at all. Gets any dirt on it, it looks used, you're not going to be able to sell it.
Use it on Shabbos?
So if I want to use it for myself on Shabbos, maybe that I can do. That I can do, because I've decided to take the item for myself. I maybe decide to take the item for myself. But you got run into problems, maybe before Shabbos wasn't there in the lakach. But if there's no problems of that, then I can use it for myself on Shabbos. But to go into my shop, I've left something on my shelf over there, wherever it is in the shop, and then there's other items over there, and I'm just moving them to the side. Moving some books, I move some books to the side, some items. I've got something behind over there that I want to take out over there, and it's lying on the shelf in the shop. It's not a kedush machzelis, it's a muksa machzik sonkis. Because the shopkeeper is makpid that nobody should be completely untouched, unused. And therefore, items in the shop are muksa machzik sonkis. The person's got a shop at home, it's a muksa machzik sonkis. Or if he's got an item which he wants to return. Food is a chiddush. Food doesn't have a muksa machzik sonkis. The Sameach says that food, a person is always tatoes to have food. Because if I'm hard up and I'm going to be hungry or somebody's going to need it, the person's das is always on food. He never blocks out that this I'm zecha not going to use. He never has that source of das that I'm not going to use food. So food will never remain a muksa machzik sonkis. But anything that a person would have a das, maybe to come along and use it, doesn't turn to muksa machzik sonkis.
Go ahead.